Welcome to our Sunday school class. And today we continue with our series on the Lord's Intercessory Prayer. That's found in John 17. Particularly today, we will be looking at verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I want you to pay particular attention today to the word know. Years ago, when we were living in Phoenix and I was working with Mexican Gospel Mission, there was a man invited to speak on a Wednesday evening. He had been a missionary in Colombia, I believe, or one of the Latin countries. And his name was Jim Adams. And I'd never met Jim Adams, but I met him that evening, and he spoke, and we talked a bit after the service. Through a series of events during that time, contacts I had made through a bookstore, the manager of the bookstore one time asked me if I had ever attended a Spurgeon's Fellowship meeting. I had not. I didn't know what it was. He explained it to me as being a group of men who meet once a month and have a guest speaker. And he said they meet on the east side one month and the next month on the west side. He said you might enjoy going sometime. But they were going to meet on the west side, the side of town I lived on, that month. So I thought to myself, I'll check it out. I did. Jim Adams was the speaker that night. Before he spoke, he said, I believe it would be well if I have several of you men lead us in prayer. And I've given part of the story on other occasions, so you may know that I've never heard men pray like they pray. And even then I thought to myself, I don't know what makes a difference, but I plan to find out. Jim Adams that night spoke on particular redemption, limited atonement. I've never heard a sermon quite like it. And when I walked out that door, I could only conclude one thing. It's true. Christ died for the elect. Only for the elect. It was an airtight message. Well, I became acquainted more and more with Jim Adams, and he became a very close brother to me in the Lord. Frequently I would go to his house in Mesa, Arizona, and we would have discussions about theology and doctrine, and he would usually give me one or two books, and I don't know how many times I went to his house. Fast forward 10, 20, maybe more years, maybe 30. And I'm working with these prisoners in California. We're forming this fellowship for which we're praying. And Galen says to me, yes, we've contacted a church in Mesa, Arizona, and they're looking into coming over once a month and preaching for us. And he says, the pastor is Jim Adams. I said, I know Jim Adams. Well, neither of us could quite believe the providence involved in it. Now, when I made that statement to Galen, I know Jim Adams, what did I mean? That I met him one Wednesday night at a missions conference? Or more? I could have correctly said I know him because I met him on that Wednesday night. Yeah, I know Jim Adams. But I know Jim Adams in a different way because I went to his home many times. He took me under his wing and watched over me in my early days of coming into Reformed Truth. One day at the bookstore, a group of men came in. I found out that they were a group of men attending a pastor's conference nearby. Somebody walked up behind me and kind of shoved me. I turned around and it was Jim Adams. What are you doing here in Moxahatchee? Why would I take up at this time to give you these thoughts? Simply because I want to make the point there are different levels of knowing somebody. This little word know is of vital importance for the well-being of our walk with God, our Christian life, day in and day out. This is eternal life. Well, last week we talked a lot about eternal life. It's not something that begins when we go to heaven. It begins the moment of regeneration and continues for all of eternity. This is eternal life. What is eternal life? What did our Lord say is eternal life? That they may know thee. What do you think our Lord meant by know? Good to meet you. And we go our way. I know him. Well, I hope you'll keep that in mind today, next week, as we make our way through John 17. These are the words of our Lord. They're not only the words of our Lord, they are the prayer of our Lord. Overheard by the disciples on purpose. In the previous verses, we're looking at verse 3 of John 17, but in the previous verses, there's a petition of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things Jesus spoke and lifting his eyes to heaven said, Father, the hour has come. Here's the petition. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. That's coming from our Lord as a petition. Now, he makes this petition. We will be dealing with it more as we progress. Now, I want to tie these two thoughts together. This is glorifying the petition. And I hope you'll follow me carefully. Our Lord said in verses 1 and 2, these things spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, and we have it, glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. What follows that petition? Knowing. Now let's put the two together. Let's plug them in. The declaration that eternal life consists in knowing God and Christ glorifies both God the Father and Christ. And that is important. Now, all of life, and there are various facets of life. There's natural life, physical life, eternal life. But whatever life we're talking about, whatever aspect of life that we're talking about, finds its source in God. God is the source of all life. That means he initiates it. It means that he supports it. It means that he sustains it. And that's important. Now, as we talk about eternal life, God is the source of eternal life. So that's very elementary. It's also very basic. And our concept of eternal life and of God, eternal life, it flows from God. And here is something very practical. It is maintained by communion with God. The very purpose of the coming of Christ was that he might bestow eternal life on those whom he came to save. Listen as I share with you John 10:10, and that's easy to remember, 10:10. Our Lord says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. The Father himself is the source and fountainhead of it. Jesus Christ is the channel. And the Holy Spirit is the communicating power. Faith is the heaven-born faculty in the soul by which we see, hear, taste, receive, know, and enjoy God. And I know that last sentence was a long one, but I want you to realize, dear people, that this is so fundamental to the well-being and health and strength of our Christian life and Christian walk with God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and throughout the rest of the week, work week, wherever, whatever. Our Lord says, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee. There's a lot of knowledge out there. Think of the knowledge that's out there. Science, math, physics. On and on and on. I studied a little bit of philosophy, thankfully in a Christian college. Sometimes really amazes me. Individuals I have met or come in contact with who get so wrapped up in the study of philosophy. It's interesting. But what's the real purpose of it? So when we say that they may know thee, we're saying that this is the most excellent knowledge that is. On a missionary trip that myself and two of the guys made, and I referenced it one time, three of us drove from Dallas to Honduras and back. It took us a month. And we visited Central American missionaries in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. And those missionaries sometimes would take us way back into the villages in a jeep, having to drive through rivers and who knows what to get there. Come up on this humble little gathering of thatched covered huts and dirt floors. And there were dear, dear people who knew the Lord. They probably didn't know any math or history or science. But they knew the Lord. And it was very evident that they knew the Lord. Most of them never saw money as money. But they tithed eggs for whatever they were growing. Because a guy in the village at a certain point would pack all this stuff up and take it into town and sell it, come back and give that money to the church. When I say that they, when Christ says that they may know thee, we're talking about knowledge that has to do with eternal life. We do well to know what that knowledge is and how it is and all we can find out about it. Because it's the very source of our spiritual life, of our days here on the earth, and the tribulations and the trials and the difficulties and the hardships and yes, and the joys that we go through day after day, week after week, year after year. But then after that, for all of eternity. The more we know God, the more true joy and peace and holiness there will be evident in our life. The description of those who are still outside of Christ is a stark contrast. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Being alienated in their understanding or knowledge, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. That's fearful. But you know what? It was to dispel this darkness and ignorance and to bring the knowledge of God that Christ came. Now, this knowledge of which we've been speaking . That's one of the reasons why we have the scripture. I'm quite amazed at a man by the name of Jose Medrano. You will recall me mentioning that name. And he's in prison in North Carolina. Has been for many years. I would be very hard pressed to even imagine and guess how many times he has read through the Bible. Many times. In fact, years ago he asked me, could I get him a Matthew Henry study Bible? Which I did. And now they're coming up with a new system that they have a modified tablet. And we can exchange emails, texts, whatever you want to call it. And I haven't done it yet, but we can actually, well, I have to. They call me on the tablet. And we can actually have video visits. I've had one under another system. But I'm amazed. Many times as he will write to me a brief paragraph, something he read, something he understood, sometimes on the phone he'll be asking me questions. This guy is from El Salvador. He left home when he was just a teenager with his cousin and came to the States. I said, how did you get here? He said, we stole everything that we could get our hands on. Jose knows the Lord. And if you think prison life is easy, it isn't. But Jose is helped and strengthened to persevere in that environment. Amazing what his knowledge of the scriptures does to equip him day by day to be in a situation that would be very difficult for me to even begin to describe to you. That's knowing God. That's knowing Him. And the strength and the perseverance and the help mentally, yes, and psychologically and spiritually, it comes to Him through his knowledge of God's word and of God himself. The providence of God in meeting him actually occurred in one very unusual providence. Every Monday night, a group of us went from the church in Rocky Mount to preach. And one night we were all leaving, and a deacon came up to me. He had been preaching in another part of the jail. He said, "This man wrote his name on a piece of paper and gave it to me." I looked at it. Jose Madrona. That's all I said. That's all. It's his name. So when I went back, I found him and I said, "Why did you write your name on this paper?" He says, "I need help." I said, "If you mean money, no. If you mean spiritual help, we'll help you." He said, "That's what I mean." And at that very moment, we began to keep in contact with him. And he was serving two life sentences plus 90 years. And I would actually, after he got out of that jail, would go to the prisons around the area there where he was and spend time with him, visit with him. In some places we could have lunch together, and outdoors at a picnic table, and just spend time with him. And I tell you that story, I know I probably used it before, but the point that I'm driving home is this. Here's a man who's on purpose disciplined himself in an unfriendly, helpful, encouraging environment, non-encouraging, to know God. And we have our rocking chair at home, and a lamp, and air conditioning. Quiet. I'm just saying, folks, we have an obligation and a responsibility to live up to the opportunities that God has given us as his people. We should be as advanced as Jose, if not more. Well, John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." And so we have knowledge. Paul, writing to the Colossians, said this, "And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge." Now we have a modifying adjective. True knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. True knowledge. Well, that implies that there's a knowledge that isn't true. So we do have to exercise care. I know I grew up in an Armenian camp. Served the Lord in an Armenian situation for years. Some dear people among the Armenian brethren. Many who know and love the Lord and serve him. But I remember when the doctrine of grace, doctrines, became a reality to me. It was like getting saved all over again. And it wasn't because I saw it just in this passage, in that passage. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is an exposition of the doctrines of grace. What a wonderful truth. And you see, through the knowledge that God gives us of his word and of his truth, something's beginning to happen in our life, and we are being conformed more and more and more to the image of His Son. And that's the eternal purpose of our salvation. Not necessarily that one day we're going to be in heaven. That's a wonderful truth and certainly a wonderful part of it, and I don't mean to in any way to mean that. But dear ones, that is not the eternal purpose of our salvation. Turn with me to Romans 8, 29. I want you to turn there. I want you to look at it. Romans 8, 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. That's God's eternal purpose, reaching all the way back into eternity and into the eternity ahead of us. What's it all about? Conform to the image of Christ.
You don't need to turn there. I'll just ask you to listen. Daniel 11:32. And by smooth words He will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. What's producing the strength? What's producing and motivating the action? People who know their God. Listen to Paul writing to the Philippians. Philippians 1, 9, 10. You don't need to turn there. Paul says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge. Think of that. Real knowledge. Real. That's for real. A lot of knowledge that you can graduate with a doctor's degree is not a lot of times worth what you pay for the diploma. This is real knowledge for a purpose. For the rest of your life and for all of eternity. Real knowledge. Peter, 2 Peter 1 and 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful, get this, in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hear me well. The reality of what we've just been talking about, the truths that we've been looking at, when that grips your heart, it ought to motivate you to seek to have even a more abundant knowledge of God. Think of it. To know Him is life eternal. To know Him is peace. To know Him is communion with God. And we're going to be dealing with communion with God. Now,
someone has well said, oh, that we might have an ever-increasing knowledge. It's easy to reach a plateau, to become somewhat self-satisfied. But, yeah, I mean, I know I've been a Christian so many years and sat under the ministry. Yeah, I graduated from Bob Jones or whatever. No. We don't reach a plateau and then just kind of sit back and, you know, it must be increasing. When you come back next week, you ought to have increased in your knowledge of God. Measurably so to speak. If not, why not? Can you think of anything that has a higher priority in your life? That increased knowledge from today till next Sunday, well, in many, 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 many ways, minister to you. I can't be in your home and preach every morning. God's word can reach your heart every day. Every day. Anew and afresh. And it can drop your tears. It can fill you with true, genuine joy and great expectations. We're not talking about intellectual knowledge. We're talking about experiential knowledge. I could have gathered a lot of facts about my friend Jim Adams. Birth date, address, education, mission service. I have some experiential knowledge of my friend. We spent hours in his home, one-on-one. I know Jim Adams, and he knows me. Experiential. Okay, I think we'll probably stop here time-wise and note material-wise and just thank the Lord that we're able to confront these, I would say, hopefully heart-gripping truths that will challenge us to have a real, real knowledge of God. Let's pray. Father, help us through these times of instruction to learn and to remember and to apply for our own spiritual good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.